Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So page 63. A devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam Eka Dvitiyam. There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energy. So when the devotees look, they just see the Lord in everything. That's how they're always conscious. So other living entities they also see as part and parcel of the Lord. Right? But the Lord has all these unlimited energies. All these energies are personal. So therefore we deal personally with them according to the nature of the individual. But at the same time we see that connection always back to the Lord. So it says the devotee sees it, they actually see that oneness, how Krishna is everything. Right? They don't, but that doesn't mean it's not personal. We think if it's one, there's not personal. And if it's many, it's personal. But actually, if we see only many, or only one, it's both are impersonal. It's only when we can see it's one who's many, that is personal. Is that... Persons who are not in real knowledge think that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, and Shiva the annihilator, and that the different demigods are intended to fulfill diverse purposes. Thus they create diverse purposes and worship various demigods to have those purposes fulfilled. Kamaistais ter hritigyana prapadyante vyadevataha. Bhagavad Gita 7:20. A devotee, however, knows that these various demigods are but different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that these parts need not be worshipped. Right? So, there's only one thing to do, is pleasing Krishna. But, because they see all these different living entities as separate, that all Vishnu is doing is maintaining, and everybody else is doing something else. So then they come up with different purposes. Someone wants to go to the heavenly planet, someone wants to become rich, someone wants to become famous, someone this, that. So according to what, then you worship that demigod. Right? But for the devotee, he knows that by worshiping Krishna, everybody being part and parcel, then everything that's there in the unlimited variety is all part of Krishna. So if you have Krishna, you have everything. So they're not worried about anything else. Then if they have those things, nice, and if they don't have those things, they're still comfortable. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Yeah? Okay. Not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. So, not being disturbed by the Lord's various features. Like, he has all these different features, and the whole material creation is him. So not being disturbed. This one is disturbing, this one's not, this one, this, that. We just see everything connected to him. That means whatever we're seeing, we see it according to the scriptures. And so that means then we perform the activity that belongs to that particular situation. Right? Means every situation has laws governing that situation. We follow the laws governing that situation. Right?
Okay. Usually there's a tendency that it is being observed that the devotees, let's say, if there is a particular problem in their life, and then it is being suggested that there is a Rahu Dosh or Shishani Dosh, then that has to be satisfied. So what they do is that they satisfy this particular thing and then they come back to Krishna. So they take shelter of both, you know, Krishna as well as Rahu. But it is not in one sense that the Krishna has been taken shelter of, because they are taking shelter of the demigods, you know. So you're like, what can be said, you know, because in a saying that here it should be like only Krishna and none other, and then that's not really natural, because they do have faith in the demigods, because...
But that's it's just mixed devotional service. Means if one is worshipping the demigods and worshipping Krishna, then that means it's mixed devotional service. But the point is where does the potency of Rahu and Shani come from?
Krishna.
Yes, so if that's seen, then all by worshipping Krishna, that's already taken care of. Right? That's that aspect. Or, if we're looking at it from this point, is all we can help, because this is how the arrangement is in the universe, but where's the potency? It's Krishna. So therefore, by Krishna's arrangement, if that's your inclination and that's within your duties, then that's how you do it.
Because the reason is what has been given is that the results given by Krishna are delayed, they haven't postponed, but in demigods with immediate effects, immediate results, which are observed in the lives.
Yeah, but that's talked about, but it's temporary. It means that the demigods give immediate results. That's if you do all the rituals properly. In other words, okay, you're doing, you know, your Shani Dosha here, and but if you you get that stone, but it's not a good stone. You know, if you have a stone but it has flaws in it, it's actually worse for you than if you didn't have a stone at all. You know, so are we following the rules? So how can we say that you're going to get quicker results? The point is, the potency is there in Krishna, is coming from Krishna. So whatever potency that stone has is Krishna anyway. It's not the demigod. You know what I'm saying? So let's say your blue sapphire, potency of the blue sapphire doesn't come from Rahu, or doesn't come from it comes from Krishna. Right? So therefore, worshipping Krishna, then that's there. Whether you use a blue sapphire or not, but you know that the potency is from Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll take is that we either use the blue sapphire or we don't use the blue sapphire. But the point is no, it's whether we see Krishna. And if we do, we can use or not as we prefer. You know what I'm saying? Let's say like brahmacharis, they wouldn't use. You know, grihasthas, then they might use. You know, if he's got to sell his house and then buy a stone, then probably shouldn't do that. Right? You know, if he has money coming out his ears or, you know, stuff like that, then he wants to buy these things, then great. You know what I'm saying? Because it's an investment. The Vedic thing is an investment. You can always get your money back. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So, the point is that one should see that one's performing one's duties, right? You see the laws of nature, you see how the Lord's absorbed in everything, and then those duties, then we see how to how we in our position should be engaged in the Lord's service, right? But it has to be according to the Lord's. Mam ekam sharanam vraja, right? So in other words, the dharmas that we're performing according to the laws of nature, we're doing those to please Krishna. That's the whole point, because it's Krishna that's everything. Now he's got variety, therefore the variety of dharmas are there, but if we only see the secondary, or how Krishna's manifest in this one aspect through the secondary and not see the primary, then that's not ideal. That we can see how the Lord pervades everything, and we see that aspect, that means it's higher than not seeing it at all. But it's actually about the principle. That's why for the devotee, seeing Krishna in everything means he surrendered to Krishna in everything. Not that he just sees and therefore, you know, does, okay, Krishna's the potency in that, so he sees that, but he's into the stone. But it's about Krishna. Because Krishna is the potency in the stone. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so this should be the guiding principle of one's life. How to see all that. So that way then the secondary fits in as long as it's connected to the primary. But if it doesn't fit in, it's a waste of time. So it doesn't matter what secondary you use, it'll be a waste of time. Because someone will say, oh, I'm in a better position, oh, I'm more educated, or I have more money, or I have, you know, all these different things, so I'm in a better mundane position. But the point is, it's all a waste of time anyway. The demigods continued, O Lord, you are always in full knowledge and to bring all good fortune to all living entities. You appear in different incarnations, all of them transcendental to the material creation. When you appear in these incarnations, you are pleasing to the pious and religious devotees. But for non-devotees, you are the annihilator. Srila Prabhupada comments, The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all function differently. But their main purpose is Paritra Naya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Bhagavad Gita 4.8. To protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Right? Because what is the devotees means it's connected to Krishna. It's positive. What's the demons means it's not connected to Krishna. Right? So since everything is connected to Krishna, that should be the cultivated mentality. And what's not connected to Krishna, then that is the part that should be removed. Right? So just the devotees, you know, have that one, the non, the demons, the other. Right? And then there's everybody in between. So they're supposed to follow the rules, but to please Krishna. So if they don't follow the rules, then they'll just be like, they'll take up the demoniac. Does that make sense? So this modern tendency to always break down rules, that the modern is always about breaking the rules. Like that. You get a journalist, you get a, you know, one of these, you know, guys that, you know, puts out their opinions and editorials. Their only business is breaking down authority. Right? So that's whatever they try to do. Your liberal opinion means breaking down authority. Why? Because then I can do whatever I like. So it gives me more opportunity for sense gratification. So in other words, I'm not into the austerity of trying to be God by giving up the material world. I want to be God by enjoying the material world. Right? So the one is I'm going to control it. I'm going to enjoy it. The other one is I can't enjoy it, so I'll just control it. But you see, both of them want to control. So one accepts the Shastric authority, but then ultimately I am the authority because I'm God. And then the other is I'm the authority because I said so. I feel like it. But both of them, they're both is trying to break down authority. One's accepting the classical understanding, and the other's rejecting. That makes sense. So we see that these are just standard mundane stuff. So the point is one is pious, then by association of devotees, one is elevated to devotional service. But if one doesn't follow, then one's only going to make trouble. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that.
Yes. And what would be the reason for the modern to break authority and consider it as their main duty?
Because then it gives more opportunity to enjoy. So if we break it down, then what does that mean? Okay, if I'm going to enjoy, because we're taking natures, right? So we're breaking down, I'm going to enjoy from the intellectual, from the administrative, from the economic, or from the sensual. Okay. So now if I break down authority from the intellectual, now I'm not regulated in my process of thinking. I can think any way I like, about anything I like, however I like. I don't have to be respectful to anything. Right? Administratively, I can do anything I like. I want to take everybody, lock them up, or I want to do what I can do whatever I like. So again, it's just that freedom that I'm not controlled. Because the idea is if I'm controlled, I will get less. Rather than we see in all our experience, the more it's controlled, the more we get out of it. Okay. You know, it's just like if I put down plates for everybody, you get something to eat. What if I just put the food in the middle of the room in a pile and say, everybody go for it, and you guarantee you'll get something to eat? No, that's the whole thing. The more regulated it is, then the more it works out. But there's this illusion that, no, the more I deregulate, the more I'll enjoy. Right? You know that. And the fun part is when it comes to government, the conservatives are about deregulation and the liberals are about regulation. Yeah. The conservatives' concept is government should be small and just let businessmen and that do what they need to do. Because if the government's small, taxes less, you get more profit. For the liberals, it's all about everybody, so you have to have more administration to see that everybody's getting, but it costs more, so everybody gets less anyway. You know, so it's funny. It's really funny how they talk one, but they end up doing the other. So
it means liberals, they're usually not fascists as such.
No.
Who are they?
Yeah, hard to say. Yeah. There has to be more of an intellectual aspect. You know? So that aspect is good. So that side of the liberal is good, the intellectual side. But then the practical application is not necessarily so good. The considerations may have had some good, but how they want to affect it, that's not necessarily how you get it. You know? So that's the point, is on the material platform, everything has fault. So even if you follow the piety, there's still some fault, let alone if you give up the piety, then how much fault will be? You know?
How do people
get
to the
right.
Unfavorable
means it's from a position of being a separatist. Unfavorable, yes, it's Krishna conscious, but that's what we're saying, is that it has to come to that, because then you're seeing two. You're a dualist. Right? The impersonalists are dualists, but at the same time it's not about anybody. That's the funny part. While the Vaishnavas then on this advanced platform, they're the ones that can see the oneness of everything, but it's personal. You know? So that's why you see everything's always mixed. It's because Krishna's energies are always opposites. And so then his internal potency can hold all these seeming opposites together very nicely. Because we'll think liberals, it's all on this one side, and conservatives all on that side. But actually, if you look at it, that it's always mixed. It's just where one's strong, the other one's weak, and where the other one's strong, the first one's weak. So that's all. So opposite means that it doesn't mean in everything. It means that in one area, then there's an opposite. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just like, okay, the Germans are structured, and so because of that, they're winning the war, right? But then the other group, they're more clever, so they win the war. So the point is you have to have qualities. So all these things, you can be structured and clever, then that's how it works. You know what I'm saying? So everything has something good, everything has something bad if you're dealing on the material. But when it's connected to Krishna, there is no bad, because all these contradictions are resolved in Him. So when we say devotional service is not favorable, that means then it's a consideration of ourselves. So it's about us. It's devotional service, but it's about us. So, but by that's why it was probably pointed out about the submissive service attitude. If that's there, then everything will progress. If that's not there, it won't progress. So even you develop all the skills and qualities, if the humility and that service attitude isn't being impressed, it's a waste of time, right? And these, and generally our use of modern self-help or, you know, success things are based on false ego, not on humility and service attitude, because that's how the karma is based on. You know what I'm saying? People are not confident, so you have to say, oh, you can do it, yeah, you can do anything, just put your mind to it and all this kind of thing. Great, nice, but where's the service attitude? So that's the difficulty. Because that's what makes it favorable. And if that service attitude's not there, it's technically not favorable, even though it's technically done perfectly. Comes down to the character. Because that's the whole thing. It's the character by which everything is done. Right? Like if I say humble, okay? Then, okay, humble. It's a quality. Now, what are the activities of humble? You know what I'm saying? So, there's certain activities that match that. Like if I respected authority, worked cooperatively with others, took others' opinions on things, you know, were, you know, had the proper qualification, didn't try to glorify myself, but glorified others. These are all the activities of humility. So those activities are pious. The humility is pious. But unless that's connected to Krishna, then it's still a waste of time. So now if we're devotees, we're devotional mood, humble, and have all those qualifications, those activities of humility, then that is your Vaishnav culture. Does that make sense? So it's already included. We have this idea that, you know, it's the way the modern is, or throw all that out completely, and then the devotional must be something else. You understand? So that's the weakness, is that we're not seeing Krishna as everything. You know, so he's everything. So then I can stick to these non-Vedic externals, and it's fine. But it's still about the externals. It's not about Krishna. Because it was about Krishna, then whatever the situation, I use that, what would be the most advantageous for Krishna. Considering that it's not just the external, but it's the qualities by which I apply the external. Right? In other words, skill is there, but it has to have the attitude. So that's why activities are there, knowledge, skills, and attitude. You have all that combined. That makes for proper action. If I leave anything out, then it won't work. You know, you have the nice guy, you can't do anything, so nothing gets done, but he's a nice guy. You know, the guy efficient gets it done, but he's not a nice guy. So the point is, or the guy who's not nice and doesn't get anything done, now that's the worst. But if you had a guy who was nice and got things done, everybody would say that's the best. You know? Does that make sense? Now, as far as being practical, the guy that's not nice and gets things done, that's better than the guy who's nice and gets nothing done. But as far as personal dealings, the guy who's nice and gets nothing done is better than the guy who's the other. So therefore, personally, you'll deal with one, but practically, you'll deal with the other. So it's different spheres. But you see, as the person, the one who can be proper character and efficiency, that works in all spheres. That's the Vedic version. So when we say but we would just want to be, you know, all this Vedic, all this philosophy, we just want to be practical, that means no, you don't want to be practical. It means you want to be practical, but you don't want to be personal. Right? Because it's thought, if you're personal, you can't be practical, and if you're practical, you can't be personal. But in the Vedic, you can be both. But in the modern, generally you have to be the not nice guy to get things done. Does that make sense? Yeah. So. Okay. To protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Yet, though the duskritis or miscreants are annihilated, this is ultimately good for them, right? Because then that impure aspect within their lives is removed, and so then the soul is able to move forward. It's not necessarily that it's nice, but like, you know, anything. You know, anything that's curative generally is not necessarily nice. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's say, but let's say we go to the spa, right? Very nice atmosphere and all that. They play the nice music, you know, everything's very nice and all that. And the nice, you know, massage and how they deal and all that. And it's very curative and all that. And that was nice. But how much did that cost you? So that cost you more. So what do you have to do to get that money? Go out and do all the things that put you there in that spa in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that there's nothing that's nice all the way around. It's always some problem. Right? You know, you make some, you know, how you say, instant noodles, right? Okay, it's quick. But the point is it's not that great. Right? And then you cook something that tastes great, but it took time. So that's the thing. Opposites are always included. Always. Like that. So that's why when it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. When it's not connected to Krishna, that's when we have a problem. I want this, but not that. I want the duck that lays the golden eggs. I just don't like the mouth that quacks and has to eat all the time. Right? No, but they go together. So that's the thing, is that the efficiency and that personal, that culture, they go together. But we're looking at it, culture is one thing and efficiency is another thing. They're one thing. They're different aspects of one thing.
Yes. Regarding being purified by the Lord, the demons, sometimes we know that devotees also try to help their relatives or whatever. But if it happens after the soul left the body, people don't see all that stuff. Does it purify the soul still?
Yeah, something. Like it said, if you're how you say, burnt with palsy, then you know, yeah, then you get something really good. No, like that. Then you can always take the ashes, put it in the Ganga. You know, these kind of things.
And the point of efficiency. Usually to be efficient, you have to be strong.
Yes, that's the point. But that's where the character comes in. Mm-hmm. So if you're strong and character, then it's not a problem.
But you also have to be nice.
But nice is part of the character. Mm-hmm. You can be nice and be strong. You know, it's like you can say it nicely. You know, either we have your signature, Lisa. My dear sir, we would like to have your signature on here. And that's your choice. Otherwise, we'll have, your brains will be on here. The choice is up to you. You're free to choose as you like. But we were being nice.
English gangster.
Yes.
Sometimes you just feel that the point doesn't get through.
Then you try different angles. But the point is if it's something that has to be done and it's the other person's duty to do it, then, you know, you may apply proper pressure. But then at another time, explain it. Because at the time, its tendency is people's brains don't work. At other times, they can look at it from a neutral point of view, and so then it's easy. But at the time, because of attachment, they can't look at it. So that's why it's that ignorance clouds their ability to understand. So if it's something that can be done later, it'd be better it's done now, but could be done later, then you leave it. If it has to be done now, you know, like how you say the pot had to catch on fire on the stove and you have to put it out and, you know, you might have to push them out of the way, then, you know, that's the whole thing. Then you explain it later. But that's what you have to try to balance, is that the culture and the efficiency then have to be combined. Yes, means the systematic, means the personal is always your more prominent, but at the same time is then you have to efficiently apply. So it's, you have to have both. Because otherwise, if you have only one and not the other, you have to know what's the situation. You know, you're just sitting there, nothing to do, then it'll be more personal. You know, you're trying to accomplish some activity, then it'll be more about the efficiency. But it's not that they both disappear.
And then he's taking the efficiency from his primary and the personal.
Of course, because that's coming from the bourgeois concept that money is everything. So if it doesn't get money, then, because the point is anything, efficiency, if it gets money, then it's there. So they're just looking at that. So it's economic, so it's artha. So it's already down to it's atheistic. Because theistic means there's laws. There's laws governing that. Right? And God-given laws. So that's just theistic. If you accept that the laws of nature without the Lord, then that's a higher principle than not accepting the laws of nature. But it's not as high as accepting those laws come from the Supreme. So, so it's just that you have these various things. And it's taken as the secondary, and that's why people aren't satisfied. You know, it didn't work as a karmi, why should it work as a devotee? It's the same thing. You kept dropping the hammer on your toes as a karmi. Now as a devotee, you keep dropping the hammer on your toes. Does it hurt less? It doesn't have any effect. It's the same thing. So that's why then it's recommended you follow all these things. You see everything in relationship to Krishna. But that's a scientific. It's not a sentimental. It's not that the sentiment's not there, but it's sentiment with knowledge. So we have sentiment with knowledge, and that works very nice. Like that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if there's only mundane sentiment, then there's no efficiency. Because then, if there's no efficiency, everything works out bad, right? Isn't it? So if it's all about emotion, the result's always going to be bad. Okay? So now, do you have a genre of entertainment that it's all about emotion and everything, nothing ever works? That's there, but you'll see is that there's tragedies and stuff like that. So what is that about? Because it's all about the emotion. And some people accept that because emotion is the most important. That's another thing. But no, but there is a class that they're already, everything's like that. They're already nihilistic anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know, the bohemian, basically nothing's going to work. You just accept that. You know, you might make your endeavor, but it doesn't really matter because it's destiny and all this and that. So you just, because if it did work, then what happened? You know? That's it.
Then devotees, they suspend their services, you know, I mean, not apart from chanting 61, the services that they render to the temple, because of some problems, some difficulties, some obstacles, then they usually say that, why is the Lord not protecting we being devotees, you know, our devotional service in the temple? So then,
the point is, but what is devotional service? Is it the activity or it's the attitude in which we do it?
It is both.
Okay, so that means Jamie Oliver is a great devotee of Krishna because he cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I only mention him because sometimes he cooks vegetarian stuff. You know, all the guys with the French names, forget it. Okay? So then the point is that, is it the activity or is it the attitude? Yes. So when difficulties come up, is the attitude of being able to be absorbed in Krishna lost?
Yes.
Means that's they drop it. It doesn't mean that could they still in some way remember Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna. Of course. So then what gets in the way? The false identity. You understand? I can't work with this person, this and that person. So if you can't, cry, but find some other aspects. If you demand, no, I gotta do that, and they're demanding you do that, then what's getting in the way? False ego, not Krishna. And you can say, well, why doesn't Krishna protect me? He says, well, why don't you give up your false ego? He did say, sarva dharma paritya ja over here. Or actually here, the mam ekam sharanam raja. That's the part we're not. Sarva dharma paritya ja. Give up all religions. We're cool with that part. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Just surrender to Krishna. That's the part that has a little bit of problem. So any religion I don't like, I'll give that up. But it doesn't mean I'll surrender. So the point is these obstacles come, you're supposed to surrender. Why is the story of Prahlad Maharaj glorious? Right? So he was out there and, you know, he knew what he had to do, and, you know, when the elephant came, then he did some clever trick, and that way then the elephant and this and that. And no, because he surrendered to the Lord, then he's able to always be absorbed in the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the point. So that can always go on. Because if you look at it, yes, it's your, that service may not be protected, but then at the same time is there some attitude there or something that needs to be corrected? Are we going to address that? No, but they did this. What about your attitude? Well, that's okay, but what about they did, you know, it's always going to come back to that. It's always dependent upon, you know, my devotional service is dependent upon me being able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and nobody else getting in the way. But the problem is everybody else has service in the same space. You know, it's like you're cooking and you take up the whole counter. But there's another two cooks that are also supposed to be cooking and using that counter. But I need this space. But what about them? So then it doesn't work out and somebody makes a comment or somebody puts something there so you blow up and all that. And so I can't cook there like that. Why isn't Krishna protecting me? But the whole point is are you protecting Krishna's interest? Because if it's about cooking for Krishna, there's three cooks cooking for Krishna, so then why isn't it all three cooks? Why is it you're the only cook? You know what I'm saying? In other words, when you go into the scene, the room is full of people. I mean packed with people. And the guy's on one side, the girl's on the other side, right? Okay. Now, when in the scene, suddenly all you see is the boy and the girl and the whole room is empty. What is it indicating?
Wedding.
Oh, that's gonna. Yeah, that's the next step. But what's immediately? What's going on? What's being expressed? Love, attachment. So because of attachment, they can't see anything. That room is full of people, but they don't see anybody. Right?
It's a
weird.
It doesn't see
anything. It's a Cinderella movie.
Yes. So, therefore, you know, come on, keep up here with the illusion. So, the point is what happens here? Why? Because we're going to apply this now. Why does that one cook see that the whole counter is just there for them? Because out of attachment, they can't see the others and see their needs and anything else. So that's the problem. So what gets in the way is some mistake in, or in one's quality in this thing. But if you keep up doing service and keep connected to Krishna, then you will find that other opportunities come up where it's actually greater than what you had there. Does that make sense? But that's the whole point, is that if we're absorbed in devotional service, then we'll see whatever comes up as devotional service. Like that. Because there's no obstacles. Yudhishthira Maharaj is running a kingdom. Why didn't Krishna protect him? Why did he lose the kingdom and end up out in the forest? You understand? But from that, then what happens? Then Krishna is there with them in the forest, and now they're glorified. It means in the whole story, after Yudhishthira Maharaj goes to the forest, until they come back and there is the war, how much of the story is dedicated to Duryodhana and what he's doing, not connected with the Pandavas? Like maybe zero verses? The only time you do hear about him is when they're going to do something in connection with the Pandavas. You know what I'm saying? They're making their plans to go insult them, you know, by going there in all opulence and everything like that, and then that doesn't work out because the Gandharvas get them. That's the only time you hear, is if it's in connection with the Pandavas. Other than that, who cares? Does it ever mention that the kingdom fell apart and all the citizens were so dissatisfied they couldn't perform their occupational duties, you know, all the money went out, he was a dictator? Nothing. He ran a perfect kingdom. But he's not seeing a connection to Krishna and the devotees. So therefore, why do we need to hear about it? Does that make sense?
So now I think it's all about being a good team player.
It's all about being a good team player. No, it's all about being Krishna conscious. Because you can be a good team player, but if you only see it that I'm being a good team player, then the whole point is what's the purpose of the team?
Pleasing Krishna.
So therefore, I have to please Krishna. And I'm going to do that by cooperating with the other devotees. In other words, we're trying to please Krishna. Then there's a particular service to be done to please Krishna. This service requires more than one person to accomplish it. Therefore, since everybody's playing their part, then we each play our part in that process. Now, if somebody tries to do someone else's part, then that's a problem. You know, it's just like, okay, we're offering all these ingredients, we're cooking, we're offering all these ingredients to Krishna. somebody's just, let's say, fried some potatoes, put them on the counter and all that, I'm cooking something else, and I think, wow, those potatoes would be great in my preparation. I take those potatoes and throw them in my preparation. Right? Now the other person then turns around, where's his potatoes? And then I say, oh, I put them in my preparation. I said, why'd you do that? You know, what's the big deal? It's going to be offered to Krishna. You're cooking for Krishna to offer it to Krishna. I'm cooking to offer it to Krishna, and now it's going to be offered to Krishna. So what does it matter? Yeah, like that. So the whole point is team means you play your part within the teamwork. Mm-hmm. Not that everybody cooperates according to your, you know what I'm saying? The gospel of Jose or something. Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that the previous verse spoke of the protection of the Lord. The next verse describes the form of protection. Okay, now here. The demigods continue. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the oceans of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajanas, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Right? So it says, the previous verse spoke of the protection of the Lord. That the Lord comes to protect the devotees, destroy the demons, right? Then it's saying, this describes the form of protection. What was the form? By concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, one therefore follows in the footsteps of the Mahajanas, and by that process you cross over the ocean of nescience. So you're protected by always remembering Krishna, following in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. So, then going back to your point made before, the devotee was doing temple service, now they're not doing temple service, and so their complaint is, why didn't Krishna protect me? But are they concentrating one's meditation on Krishna's lotus feet? Mm-hmm. If they're not, then how does the form of protection work? Because that's the form Krishna takes. He is that person you're meditating on. Mm-hmm. So that means he is that method. But we're thinking, no, the method has to be as I say. So why didn't Krishna protect the world as I see it? Why do we always get, Bhagavad Gita as it is? Why not, Bhagavad Gita as I like it? You know what I'm saying? Shakespeare never wrote a play as it is. He wrote one as you like it. Right? So that's the whole point. Is that we're defining how it should be rather than what Shastra says. Right? So we're working about the efficiency of my application of my skills. We're not looking at the attitude in which I'm applying them, or the whole purpose of that whole endeavor in the first place. Is it your duty? All these different things. Like somebody's decided, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make certain things happen. Right? And so then you've just saw that and make sure that you and decide you're going to do that. Then you do that. But then there's trouble. Why? Because it's not your duty. And then they say, oh, why didn't Krishna protect me? Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Yes.
Sometimes it's hard to understand whether the trouble is coming from because it's not your duty or something like this, or because it's just the material world and trouble will come anyway.
It'll come through any medium, so it doesn't matter.
But if you know what is the reason, then you know whether you should adjust something.
But then look at, is it your duty? Just like, let's say for one example, the pujaris are doing something in the Shringadevas and they finish their service there, then they come by and they see that there's some time left, so then they go into Radha Madhava's altar and do the same thing that they were doing in the Shringadevas. Then afterwards, then it turns out there's a whole big trouble. Because in the Shringadevas you just go and anything that's there that's not puja paraphernalia and it's just this and that, you pick up, you throw away. But what you didn't realize is in Radha Madhava's is that they have things that are there that are actually valuable that you didn't know were valuable and you threw them away. You know? And so, what's the problem here? It's not the duty. That's where the problem came. You can say, no, but I was just, it was cleanliness. I was just trying to make things clean. But the point is if it's not your duty, it'll make trouble. Does that make sense? So, yeah, you have to be specific like that. Maybe you say, no, but I like to clean, I like to do. So then it's, I like to. But did you get authorization? Did you ask the pujaris there, okay, can I help here? Something I can do? Oh, yes, take this out or do that, or but leave this alone. You know what I'm saying?
Second problem, following the footsteps of Mahajan.
Yeah, following the footsteps. Right, yes. So remembering the Lord, following the footsteps of the Mahajan. So it's not that remembering the Lord how I like it. It's remembering the Lord how they have done it. So that's as it is. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, person who have achieved knowledge by the association of devotees follow the Mahajanas, right? So achieve knowledge by the association of devotees, not just from something else. Such a person always concentrates his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord and executes one or more of the nine varieties of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarnam Padasevanam Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Simply by this process, one can cross the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Right? So, you're achieving knowledge in the association of devotees who are following then the ones above them. Right? In other words, that's the parampara. We're following people who are following those who are following, like this, back to Krishna. And then one applies that into that knowledge into the process of devotional service. Right? So that then that will then cross over, because the whole idea is to cross over the ocean of nations, not get something mundane. Does that make sense? It's not that these things won't come along with it, but the point is let's say we're doing something, we're building something, or collecting something, or making something, or whatever. So that if we get those things, but if we're not Krishna conscious, then the whole point's been missed. But if in doing that we're becoming more Krishna conscious, then that's the whole purpose of it. So the purpose is not to build something. The purpose is to be Krishna conscious. Right? So, if we have the ability to build, then we build for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's, instead of saying, what is it? What do they say? You see it in Calcutta or Delhi. Build we must for a better tomorrow. So, build we must to teach Krishna. Right? You know, that's what it should say. Okay. Here the Lord is described as Ambu Jaksha, or lotus eye. Upon seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. And so once we see things in connection with Krishna, then we're very satisfied. That's the whole principle we're trying to get to. Simply by, so the lotus eyes means that's the person, right? It means if we see just, you know, somebody's hand, and the picture is just the hand, then there's a problem. But if in the picture, however big it is, the eyes are included, then we, you know, connect it to the whole thing. Does that make sense? You know? Does that make, yeah. You know, so if we just have the hand, it's like, well, where's the person? We just have the head, we don't say, well, where's the body? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, well, so then, by seeing the lotus eyes of the Lord, then you see the person in everything. Then that's where the problem goes away. Simply by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, a devotee is at once fully absorbed in the Lord in his heart. This absorption is called samadhi. Yana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1. A yogi is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he has no other business than to think of the Lord always within his heart. Right? So that's yoga. So we're bhakti yogis. So we think of the Lord in the heart in devotion. Astanga yogis just think of the form of the Lord in the heart, no devotion. Right? So because that's more difficult. Therefore, they have this very mechanical process to ensure that it works. But remembering a person and dealing in that devotion, that's easier. Therefore, those mechanics aren't necessary in that strict form. The elements are there, but they don't require such mechanistic operation. So, in regard to the word Mahat Kritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only from them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. So, they're doing something to make it easy means it's easy for them and it's easy for everybody else. So therefore, the Mahajanas, they find that path which will be the best for everybody. How everybody can be absorbed in the Lord. So that's why we follow what they do. We can make up our own, but we can't guarantee that what we're doing is going to be easy. Right? We say it's easy, but not everybody else finds it easy. You know, it's just like on the computer. You know, it says, hey, this happened like that. You know, like that. Oh, that's easy. Well, you push here like that, draw that over there, and then you click on this, and then you go over there, and then transfer that over there, drag that down to here, and then push this button over here. That pops this thing up here, and then you click this, and then you do that. See, that was it. How long did that take? That was about 7 seconds. Nothing. Right? So that's the problem. You know, it means you're doing it, but others are going to follow it. So you do that which others can follow. So that what the acharyas are recommending, that's what we can follow. So if they mention all these different things, the devotional service, all these different aspects, that's actually something that we can do. But we have to accept that we can do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. The demigods continue. Oh, wait a minute. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nescience is easy not only for the devotees, but also for common persons who follow the devotee. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 17.186. Because this is the essential point. How to always remember Krishna, never forget. That's what we're trying to do. So that's then what you show people how to do that in their situation. It's not the secondary aspects that is the prominent point. So therefore, they're in a particular secondary aspect. You show them how to connect that to Krishna. What's the principle behind it? Right? Then they can adjust that. Right? If you think that, okay, I am nourishing the body, so therefore that potency of nourishment comes from Krishna, therefore I'm recognizing that Krishna is that potency, therefore it's by his grace that I have this, right? That's the point. Then it doesn't matter what you're offering, you can see that, right? Now that I'm offering to him I'm recognizing that position, but ultimately the point is to please him, then changing what I offer is easy because it's personal. I'm going from myself as a person to Krishna as a person. But if I don't see that, then I see, okay, non-devotional service means offering what I'm offering, devotional service means offering this other stuff. Right? That. But this other stuff I can't relate to. Why not? Because I don't see it in a personal way. Not in a personal meaning God personal, I'm seeing it as a personal myself. I don't like it. So therefore I can't offer it. So then, you know, how is this devotional service? So then just go back, you can offer anything to Krishna. Yeah, so it's about me, so I'm offering anything to Krishna. But then the difficulty comes down is, how does that switch made? Because of the personal, it pleases Krishna. Right? So therefore, there's the main point of pleasing Krishna according to that position. I'm doing it for him. But there's also, then, there are secondary aspects that please Krishna. Does that make sense? So therefore, that's what the acharyas have done. So the aspects that they do, what they follow, that's what we follow. But the most important is the principle of why they're following it. That's the first thing you can give. So we'll generally take, that's the higher aspect. No, that's the principle you can give to anybody. That's the universal. So because it's always, we can deal with details and then get to the universal. No, the Vedic starts from the universal. Then you get into detail. That's the difference between the descending and the ascending. Ascending is detail and getting more detail, and maybe you'll get to the principle or not. But Vedic is you start from the principle, then get into detail how much you can. Right? So detail goes from simple to complex. But then the ideas from that all get into universal. The Vedic starts from universal, then starts at how much detail you can handle. So it starts from the simple and goes up. Yes. Chant the holy name, but also why. The universal is the holy name, but why? Why the holy name? Why devotional service? You know, why there? Because Krishna is the Lord, you're the jiva, you're the soul. He's the supreme. You know, it's his law. But these kind of things, that you can teach. Nobody, no religion can have a problem with that. That there's a supreme, there's laws, everything's governed by that. We as individuals coming in line with that, we get the benefit. It's seen every day in our lives. So no one will complain about that. That's the universal. So the universal is simple, and the basic details are simple. You know, your fundaments are simple. So most people equate fundaments as down on the bottom and complex as advanced. So therefore, universal must be advanced. It means must be complex. And when we say the simple process, we say, well, that's simple, but that's not going to satisfy all these sophisticated people out there. This is the very thing that those sophisticated people are looking for. So that's the whole thing, is that we can't distinguish between what's the highest principle and just what's the fundaments on which you will express it. Right? Getting from point A to point B is the principle. What I use, that's a detail. Right? Does that make sense? Yes, the point is if they chant, then they'll get purified, vegetarian will make sense. Now if in preaching and discussing with them, vegetarian comes up on that first time, great. But if not, better they chant. Because if they chant, then they'll get purified. Next time they come, or after that, at one point, they'll catch it. That's the whole point is, Shraddha is there, they follow the process. By that association of the devotees, then they can come to Bhajana Kriya. You understand? Because chanting the holy name is beyond Bhajana Kriya. You understand? That works without qualification. But the other, then by associating, then you understand. So being a vegetarian, following the four regular principles, these things will come with time. That doesn't mean, oh, we don't address them. We address them as soon as possible. Because if I'm working for the other person's benefit, I want to get them that benefit as soon as possible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the whole thing. So that's why, if I can bring it up, just like I remember one gentleman I was dealing with, he loved Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was comfortable with chanting. And at one time he mentioned something about coming out to Mayapur and that, and you know, I'm comfortable with the vegetarian diet and this and that, like that, you know, because it's just for a few days. So he was quite inspired coming out to Mayapur, being there, seeing the things, doing the things, hearing classes about Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. Then when I just took it because he brought up vegetarian, I started to mention something about vegetarian and the daily, like he got highly uncomfortable. So now should we ruin the whole process for that? No, we wait. Because in the beginning it wasn't about that. It was an intrigue and it was interesting. Then he read a little bit. Hey, this makes sense. Then he developed the taste for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it didn't happen immediately. Now if that continues at one point, then he'll be comfortable with the other. But it's not that you don't try to introduce, but if it's not, don't worry about it. But don't have this thing, oh, we can't introduce it. That's another thing. Somebody had the idea, you can't introduce this. Of course you can. You know, but it's individual when they'll accept it. But if you want to make dynamic profit, you have to give that up. Because meat eaters, then it says, killers of the soul and killers of animals, they're not going to understand this. So therefore, at some point, it has to be given up. So you have to give up meat eating and impersonalism if you want to progress. So, you know what I'm saying? So the gross is the meat eating, but the subtle is the soul.
So, the service of mercy, mercy, so.
Yeah, it's there. But then you find that form they like. They like kirtans, so invite them to kirtans. They don't want to chant japa, then listen to kirtans. I've also heard that, is that people can't relate to chanting with the bees, but they'll sing along when the kirtan's there. They're quite happy with that. So then that's just what you do. You start wherever they are comfortable. You know, it's just like I think Brahmananda was saying, where he was preaching in Africa, they weren't into philosophy and all these other things like that. But they love kirtan, they love prasad. So he was thinking, you know, we're not getting anywhere. The problem, no, we're getting something. You know, they have that taste, that will continue. So the more they take prasad, the more they have kirtan, then at some point they'll be able to appreciate. Does that make sense? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.